Well, hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Drive Through HR. We are listening to HR's number one internet radio show, and we're here with Cole J. Fox. Cole, tell everyone hi, who you are. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Crystal. Definitely honored to be on the show and chatting with you today. I am based in San Francisco, and I know we've been friends for quite a while and know each other through the HR technology space. And just a quick tidbit about me, my background's in sales. I helped get things started at LinkedIn with the sales team and was one of the first sales hires there before their IPO, and got really well-versed with talking to recruiters and listening to a lot of their day-to-day operations, and then decided to get more into the entrepreneurial space, and now I'm running Hackathon. So that's what I'm up to and where I'm coming from.
That is awesome. And let me tell you how much I love, you know, we are friends, so I mean, we have had this conversation before, and I was so excited when you called me and we started talking about hacker brands and what you were doing in that space, because to me, that's alternative recruitment methods, right? So anybody can post a job ad, and everyone does. But this is something really different and unique. And for people who don't understand hackathons and recruiting, and maybe just think of hackathons as like that techie thing that people do at South by Southwest or CES, could you kind of lay down what this is and why it matters?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like you said, most people just think hackathons are this thing for nerds or programmers to do and make apps. And we believe, and we've found from doing a lot of these hackathons, that really the basis of one is teaming up, building something in a confined amount of time, and then presenting it in front of judges, getting in a fair evaluation, and then talking about either next steps about that idea or next steps for a potential employee to hire them, because you get to see them perform in a very different way, and also a multitude of variables to see that how they perform. So we believe that it doesn't have to be about coding something. It could be coming up with just a basic idea, a PowerPoint presentation. It could be building something actually tangible. We've worked with companies that, you know, they want new toy ideas or they want various things. So it could be salespeople making something. It could be business people. And, of course, it could be programmers as well. So really, at the end of the day, a hackathon should be a hack, which we believe is just a shortcut or building something new. And then thon, which is really comes from marathon, which is an epic, time-driven competition. So you mold those two pieces of the word together, and you've got hackathon. That's what we think the basis of what makes a great hackathon, where you can hire people and or get new ideas.
So I'm a fan, but again, I like it when people think outside of the box. I can see how someone might say, well, wait a minute, that's like getting free labor before you hire someone, right? You can present a business problem and ask people to solve it, and you're getting free work from people, and that's not cool. Is that the reception that you get from the people that show up?
Yeah, that's a very valid concern. And I know that popularly internships are all too often, if they go bad, to be considered that exact kind of thing. It's free labor. And at the end of the day, a lot of people, even though it could be looked at that way, they really do just enjoy the opportunity and the experience to build things for those companies. I think a great example is we've had hackathons where some of the most intelligent, smart people, even with an existing job, have come to a hackathon for a company or wanted to attend just because they were so passionate about a new feature or a new idea, bringing a new idea to a company they already respected and revered. They just wanted to contribute, and that was more than enough for them. They didn't even care about the prize or even the opportunity to work there. They just wanted to contribute, and this actually goes into a really popular book. I don't know if you're familiar with Daniel Pink and his recent book. I think the book is entitled "What Drives Us and Motivation." At least the title has those words in it, and. And what he found was that people are really motivated to just express their idea and contribute something. And this all one example that's very popular is the Google 20% time, and how some of the most amazing products like Gmail and Google Calendar have come out of employees having extra time to just dabble and contribute. So it really goes deep into just the idea of expression.
Cool. So, I mean, that's a different kind of candidate experience for sure when you think of the status quo being, you know, upload resume, fill out crazy application that's probably 14 steps too long, and wait in a black hole until somebody wants you. Where does this fit in that kind of stuff? Because it's not like the need to apply goes away if you're using it in recruitment, right? So how does something like this fit in the process? Would it be pre-application? Were there still prospects, or would it be, hey, we want you to apply. We like these people that have applied here. Let's bring them in for a hackathon. Where does this typically tend to fall?
Sure. Well, you mentioned the black hole, which we all like to laugh about. There's definitely a grass is greener on the other side kind of thing with both ways of hiring. I mean, the black hole really comes down to the automation, the high application numbers, the recruitment as a number, and there's goods and bads to that. You know, you get a lot more applicants, you get a big talent pool to draw from, there's less conscientious effort. However, you get a lot of noise, you get a lot of quantity, not necessarily quality. And with a hackathon, at least for using it for hiring, the bright side is you get to have a lot of different conversations with candidates that you wouldn't otherwise have, number one. Number two, even if you don't extend an offer or you don't find them a good fit for a multitude of reasons, culture fit, talent fit, whatnot, you still get a potential to connect with their network. You put on a great event, they're going to talk about it for days and eons to come with their network, who may very well be other A players, and potentially get access to that talent pool. Now, the tough side of this is you're drawing from a smaller talent pool. You can only have a finite number of candidates come to a hackathon. We usually like to think about 75 to 150. And it's not like you're drawing from this pool of 1,000 applicants getting their email addresses. So it's a much more conscientious and concerted effort that will be required of your team. Now, with our company, we manage the whole event. We manage all the pieces of coordination and also putting on a great event. But at the end of the day, you're going to want to assess these people, so you're going to want to have some of your team there. So there is a little bit more work involved, and that is the trade-off. But we feel that you're going to come across gold nuggets, you're going to come across diamonds in the rough that you wouldn't have otherwise come across if you had that black hole system, so to speak, and we're just trying to automate all your systems. So the bottom line here is there's trade-offs, but I think it's good to have a diversified strategy, just like anything else. Hackathons should be one part of that puzzle. If you're looking for top-tier talent and you're looking for new ideas and innovation and you're looking for making these people sweat, come up with new ideas for you. So hopefully that answers that question.
It does answer that question. I'm going to take it a couple of different ways. One, or places, rather. So you have 75 to 150 people there. They're all there solving a problem. You mentioned this. You're going to want additional staff there. That's great. What are they looking for? Because I can see the average recruiting team not even knowing where to start with that as they're solving this problem. So would you have recruiters on site, or is this something that you'd really need to draw in functional team members, you know, the hiring manager and their team, to be able to really assess that?
That's a great question. I think the short answer is there's no two same situation. It's really going to depend on the company's own internal culture and talent strategy. But I think overall, if I had to choose one method, it would be to involve at least one recruiter, at least on the and at least one executive. So a high-level executive, and at least one hiring manager. So a very specific example of this would be a sales hackathon where bring in account executives or man- managerial talent and you're looking to grow your sales team or at least your sales management. So you'd have perhaps your sales director there. You'd have an executive who at least is tangentially involved with sales. And you'd have somebody from the recruiting team, at least as a sales recruiter. And what these three individuals would contribute is that they would all be able to see what happens. They'd be eyes on the ground for that day. And then they would be able to converse and say, hey, you know, this individual was interesting for this reason. And one of them may have worked with that person throughout the day or at least, you know, had kind of a pulse on how they were doing. And it would just be a better collaboration for going through and recapping what happened that day. Now, worst case scenario, my team would be eyes and ears on the ground. And, you know, obviously we would film everything. We would take scores. We would, you know, either bring in outside judges or, you know, speakers and mentors. Bottom line is I think it's good to have those three different, you know, types of people in the company from those departments that would be
right.
able to collaborate, contribute. So,
yeah, because, I mean, I would assume that I'm sure this is an affordable thing to do, especially in comparison by some of the things you can do, like buying ads on Pandora or whatever, which, not knocking, that can be really effective. But totally different type of thing. It is a decent investment. So why would you make that investment if you're not willing to put those resources behind it or if you don't have that buy-in from your team? Because if you don't, even if you guys do record it and stuff, how does that – where would they even have the time to look at all of those different candidates in action?
That's a good point. There is time, and it's interesting. I used to work in the video interviewing fields and technologies, and one of the biggest pushbacks was watching videos. Like, do we actually have time to watch these videos? And the pushback that I would give is it very similarly to watching a video for a hackathon and watching a pitch. Usually it comes down to about 90 seconds and less than a few minutes of really seeing somebody in action and seeing them sort of sweat. And it's the culmination of a day's work of either coming up with an idea, coming up with a really crystallized thought or idea. And I think that a lot of variables are really displayed in that short amount of time. So I do think it is an effective use of time if the recruiter is watching that video of really the culmination of the day. I wouldn't wish that they watch the whole like 12 or 24 hour day, but I certainly think that at least an hour or so of at least being on the ground at the hackathon, and then at least an hour or so of going through pitches, I think they'll get a lot out of that. They'll get to have a conversation that could lead to either a really interesting interview and potentially putting that future employee on a very interesting course within the company, which may not have been foreseen in a typical interview process, and or a conversation with that employee as an introduction to somebody else in their network, which could be invaluable. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, I think talking dollars and cents here, I mean, really the dollars and cents come down to cost per hire when you're doing a recruiting hackathon. So, you know, I've seen a lot of numbers thrown out around there. I'm sure you do. You probably know better than me. You know, I've seen average cost to hire anywhere from $3,000 if you're doing a corporate recruiting team, doing the cost there up to, you know, upwards of course, $20,000 and up for agency recruiting fees. So, you know, we like to think that if you make even one or two offers and hires out of a hackathon, I think that the ROI is there. And the other great thing that comes along with that that's not as much of a hard ROI, but a soft ROI is the branding. I think it's a great branding opportunity, and everybody's talking about employer branding these days. And employees really want to feel like the company they're going to, they can be heard, that their ideas can be heard. I've left several companies in my career because my ideas, I felt like I didn't even care if they actually ran with my idea. I just cared if they heard my idea. So
all right, so we're
going to
press pause.
It's huge.
Yeah,
oh, sure. Go
so
ahead.
That's a good point. We're going to press pause for a second because it is halfway through the show and I need to do a quick reset. We are on DriveThruHR, and if you are just now tuning in, we're talking with Cole Fox of Hacker Brands. What does Hacker Brands do? Hacker Brands holds hackathons for recruiting, not just developers, but salespeople, business people, all kinds of people. And we've been talking about kind of how that works and how it fits. We just hit on the magic buzzword of the year, branding. So let's talk about that, right? Because, I mean, branding is a real thing, and it is an actual advantage. And I will say that when I was with AT&T, that is one of the benefits that we saw from the hackathons that were being done, was that it was a good branding play. It was a long-term play for AT&T. So they would go in and talent network sign up for the people that were there. But for the most part, they were there to create apps and to really work together. And yes, there were business people that were there or people from the business units that could see how they engaged with each other and if they had really great ideas and maybe that led to stuff. But, you know, more than anything else, it got the company's names out. That's great for an enterprise player. But what about the startup or the small company? Is that really an affordable way to brand yourself, in your opinion, Cole?
Yeah, I think that it can be. Hackathons can range from really expensive to bootstrapped. And I think for startups, they are oftentimes, it really depends on their goals. And I like to think that hackathons, at least the return or the benefit, it falls into three buckets. Number one, and in no priority or order, one bucket is for hiring people. And another bucket is for branding in general, getting a splash, talking about your company and what it's doing. And number three are new ideas for your company, so innovation. And actually another one that kind of goes hand in hand with branding, I think branding sort of overshadows all of them, but I think the other one is selling your product. So just pure sales and marketing. A lot of companies, one prime example is using the APIs. So, for example, Amazon Web Services, you know, they're using their servers. They run hackathons. And actually, AT&T is probably a great example of that as well. They do a ton of hackathons where you can win a prize for using AT&T's telephone and telephony, you know, basically development tools. So that's a great example of product and sales for hackathons. Back to your question.
Just to clarify with... So I do feel like I need to clarify. With AT&T's hackathons, the developer API is free for use. It's not something that we productize, or they productize. Sorry, I'm not with AT&T anymore. But that being said, okay, you hit on something that was interesting. I'd like to make sure that we don't miss it. The three buckets. You talked about branding, innovation, and recruitment. You also mentioned sales, but to me, the one thing you're not talking about, if you were to mix in current employees with these prospective employees, would be collaboration. I mean, I think what really drives a lot of these new ideas is that injection of new thoughts and new blood, right? But if your employees aren't there experiencing it with them, do you miss out on some of that?
That's an interesting point, and we've seen both. We've also seen bad experiences from it. And the sticky piece of it is that, yes, employees can further engage. It can give talent a greater insight into the company for a lot of reasons. However, it can also work against the benefit if the talent is seeing too much in the company. There could also be an issue with intellectual property or trade secrets, so it becomes a bit of a sticky situation for some companies.
Intellectual property and trade secrets, you mean of the company or IP of the people participating?
Well, actually, both of those. So it becomes a sticky situation because either the employees they'll have to be coached on what they can share. They could also take ideas from some of the talent that comes, the fresh talent that comes to these hackathons. And as long as there's proper documentation and contracts that are laid out ahead of time, or at least expectations at the very simplest, then you should be fine. A lot of companies, they'll offer a prize in exchange for your IP, or there will be an expiration date if they don't use your IP and then you get it back after a certain amount of time. But the bottom line is, yes, that it's a very important piece that you, you know, at the very minimum set out expectations around your ideas. And then if you're going to involve employees, make sure that they know what not to say and that they're clear of what the expectations are that day as well. Because you can run into some sticky situations. We've put out some fires. Luckily, nothing's gotten crazy, but you know, it's just good to make sure expectations about that are set out ahead of time. And another thing, you know, when we engage with a client, I tell them there's three departments you need to go talk to right now. Number one is recruiting, if it's not already a recruiting person. Number two is the legal department. And number three is the marketing department. You want to make sure, you know, your legal and your branding and your recruitment operations are all in line and aligned with this hackathon, and then you're going to get the best bang out of your buck. And nobody's going to get mad once it happens. So,
okay, now my fun recruiting event seems really, really complicated. How do we, and complicated isn't necessarily bad, but this definitely sounds like something I maybe wouldn't want to just go out and tackle on my own.
Well,
is that the point of your business? I mean, like, not to give you a super easy sales plug, but. I mean, it really does sound like there's a lot of moving parts to this.
Well, there are a lot of moving parts if you want to get the most bang for your buck in a large company setting. And we all know, you've worked at a large company, larger than me, that you want to make sure that all departments are happy, you're not stepping on any toes, and you want to make sure you're going to get the maximum return on your investment. So I would... Yes, I think it's smart to be cautious, but with a recruiting type of hackathon. But you could also you know, do it in a more simple way. You could have a shorter hackathon where it's more of a just an experience to kind of meet some of your employees and build something more simplistic. It really depends on how deep you want to go in the rabbit hole with this. So I don't want to turn anybody off from it. I think there's simpler ways to go about it, but I think if you really want to get a really great experience that people talk about, have a high net promoter score about, all that, then yeah, I think it deserves a little more thought process, complex.
So here's kind of, not that you asked, but one of the advantages of being the host is I get to share my opinion, and it sounds legit sometimes. But here's my thought on this.
Please
this
do.
This is part of your event. Like, it's part of your event strategy. If you're going to hold events, hold memorable events. If you're going to hold memorable events, part of that is giving something that holds of interest to your attendees, but also getting something for the business that maybe is a little bit different than just a stack of resumes. I like this. I could really see taking this and in just its simplest form, making this a different kind of culture marketing event instead of doing the ice cream seltzer, which, by the way, I think that was brilliant of Zappos. It's really cute, and I like it. Or the standard get on Google Hangout every month, holding something like this in different cities if you're an enterprise, or in the same city if you're, you know, regional or local, would allow smaller groups of people to become more intimate with your company. So maybe it's not everyone's allowed to join, but, you know, the pipeline of people that you really would like to find a spot for, if there were room, it's an opportunity for them to be able to see your company. That's the way I look at it. But how many people really use it like that, or how many companies are using it like that?
I think right now it is a minority of companies, and we're looking for the early adopters. There are companies already doing it, of course, out there. A lot of them are rooted in the technology arena. However, we have worked with a client in the unheard of, but it's also shown us that there's a lot of moving pieces. Sorry, what?
I said, no, I was just laughing, going, yeah, of all the sectors, that's not the one I would have guessed. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then we also worked with one that makes toys, industrial design, and they didn't even want to hire people. They just wanted new ideas. So it is across the board, but I really believe that companies are looking to differentiate themselves with recruiting, and there is a very high ROI when you can make offers and lower your cost per hire. And have talent that can be galvanized in a totally different way when they join your company. and potentially have a great working relationship with them down the line that all started with a great experience like a hackathon. So I really think that companies can make a lot of headway if they give it a try, they do it right, and you know, just experiment with it. So
right on. All right. Well, so we've got about 5 minutes left. A couple of things. One, anything else that you really want to say or that's on your mind or got a beef with?
Well, I'm sure there's a good chunk of people in the recruiting part of their companies listening. And one question we get a lot, in case there's no Q&A time, is what about passive candidates? I mean, those are like those unicorns or the purple squirrels or whatever. You know, people aren't going to – they usually say people aren't going to want to come if they currently have a job or if they're amazing. And what I like to say is it's simple. You have a really meaningful prize. You brand the hackathon correctly, that this isn't just about blatantly us trying to hire you. It's about a fun experience. It's about contributing. It's about really getting your feelings about our company, hopefully positive, out on the line, or at least constructive. And you can get some of the most interesting, different types of not only talent, but conversations going. So even if it's not, you know, using a service to put on a hackathon, there's a lot of materials out there online. You know, start small, start with a shorter one, even start with a happy hour and get ideas. You know, don't be afraid to just get the ball rolling in some way, and you'd be surprised what you can find with minimal budget and just, you know, experimenting in a smaller way. Kind of like that whole MVP, minimum viable product, or the lean startup methodology that's, you know, becoming pretty popular out there. So go for it.
Nice.
You know, I'm happy to answer any questions. So if anybody wants to reach out to me, just go to hackerbrands.com or cole@hackerbrands.com. Happy to answer any questions and help in any way I can. So thanks for
having
me.
Awesome. Cole, where are you going to be next? So where can people find you? Are you going to be at conferences this season, trade shows, whatnot?
So I'm based in San Francisco. I'm always happy to grab coffee. As far as any HR or recruiting conferences, I'll probably be at the SHRM conference in Vegas this June, the HR Tech conference, I think it's in October. Otherwise, I'm always zipping around San Francisco. Feel free to track me down. So.
Awesome. And you are at Cole J. Fox on the Twitter, correct?
That is correct. No relation to Michael J. Fox, unfortunately.
Yeah, that would be an unfortunate. That would be kind of cool. I think that would be a cool relative to have. You could ask them to come to a hackathon.
Absolutely.
Anyway. All right. Well, on that note, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us today and helping us explore out-of-the-box ways to find people, because let's face it, we need to do more than just the average job description that we make a job ad. Not bitter about that at all. If you are joining us tomorrow, you will be listening to Lorraine Townsend at HR Energy Girl on Drive Thru HR. Talk to you soon. Thanks again, Cole. Everybody have a great weekend. Or day.
Thanks, Crystal.
It's only Tuesday. We're not near the weekend. Thanks. Bye, guys.
Take care. Bye.